The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. This census, the first, took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and travelled up to Judea, to the town of David called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house and line, in order to be registered together with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. In the countryside close by, there were shepherds who lived in the fields and took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people today. In the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, with the angel, was a great throng of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to men who enjoy His favor." The Gospel of the Lord. Christmas last year was only a few weeks since I'd been able to offer Mass with the pilgrims from our diocese at the Shepherd's Cave, in the fields around Bethlehem. And always when you go into Bethlehem, there's a sign which says, "Every day is Christmas in Bethlehem." A year on, apart from the masses, everything of Christmas is cancelled, not just in Bethlehem, but in the Holy Land and other surrounding countries too, in solidarity with the most dreadful situation we know that's erupted out there with Gaza. But this Christmas also marks 800 years since St. Francis of Assisi, who'd been to Rome, was on his way back, went to a village in 1223 and set up the first Christmas crib that we know of, which has now become very familiar. There may have been others, but we don't know of them. Francis is always one that we thought formed the crib, and that's, as I say, 800 years, 1223. But on that occasion, it wasn't quite like ours with the plastic figures in or the plaster figures in. He chose real people, the village people, to play the figures involved, as well as having an ox and a donkey. And as they were doing it, the priests then solemnly celebrated the Mass over the manger, showing the great bond between the incarnation of the Son of God and the Eucharist. Coming into the world, the Son of God was placed where animals feed. Hay became the first bed of the one who would reveal himself as the bread come down from heaven. St. Augustine, with other church fathers, long before St. Francis, was impressed by the symbolism, not of Francis's crib, because it was years before that, but the manger, laid in a manger where the animals feed. He becomes our food. And of course, the name Bethlehem means house of bread. So it's very good that English speakers, because different nationalities have different ways of what they call Christmas, we have always called it Christmas, Christmas. But what it is, it's Christ's Mass. That's what we're doing. That's why the Mass is so important. Christmas Mass is so important. That's why I'm very mindful always that following the Gospel on this night, the choir always sing a very short anthem that you've just heard, which comes from the Christmas Matins, O Magnum Mysterium, O Great Mystery. And wondrous sacrament that animals should see the newborn Lord lying in their manger. Blessed is the Virgin whose womb was worthy to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. That great mystery. And there's a sense in which this year we've been taking ourselves very much to the Holy Family Parish in Gaza, and on the back of your either the newsletter, if you pick that up, or on the back of the service paper you've got now, I've printed the Patriarch's letter that told us what happened in that parish on the 16th of this month. It's just a week yesterday. And it was a complex in the sense that there's the church, and there was the nuns, the different groups of nuns that are working there, and there was a school and hospital and all those things. And I did say to the people in Hale that when we didn't have the church in Hale and we had the hospital there with the sisters' chapel and the little school of St. Joseph's that they had, it was like an attack on all of them. Because, you see, people were sheltering in the school. People were sheltering in the church, and they were shocked. In the church. People were injured and shot in the church, the Holy Family. And also the nuns had, as we, of course, inhaled, they had this hospital, which was really for severely disabled people, 54 of them, who very often need ventilators. And it was just bombed. You can read all that. But you see, we're still brought to this great mystery. That God involves himself with us. And the old ones among you may remember a 20th century writer and broadcaster of our country, Malcolm Muggeridge. And he converted to Catholicism and his wife towards the end of their lives after walking a very long road for him of agnosticism, skepticism, many other isms, but not Catholicism. But in the end, he embraced the true faith. And in his book, Jesus, he recalls a visit to the Holy Land it was years earlier, but he's reflected on it. It had moved him on. And he said it had an extraordinary impact sitting in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It's an old, very old basilica. It was not damaged when the Persians invaded in 614. So it predates. It's very, very ancient. And they didn't destroy it because on the walls are murals, and it showed the three magi coming, and they were dressed in Persian gear. So they thought, we can't ruin that. It's where we've come from. So it must be all right. So it's been preserved. But downstairs is the cave where was the manger, where the animals were. And he sat there. He said he went in the relative darkness. He could see the silver star on the floor that marked the spot where Jesus was believed to have been born, obviously 2,000 years earlier. But he said, what mattered was the fact that Jesus had been born, and his birth had given birth to the faith of so many. And Muggeridge says he was so deeply moved as he sat watching the silent flow of people of all nationalities, all from around the world. And any of us that have been there, when we've been on our pilgrimages, we've all been very privileged because we all stay right next door in St. Catherine's Church and in the Casanova there. So we can often get down. But I think the first Mass was 4 o'clock in the morning, was it before that? I think the first Mass starts at 3:30 or something like that. And it's on the half hour all day long. But we had to be there very early. So, but then the queues just stretch round all Manger Square. People just queuing to go in. But what did Muggeridge just say? This is the point, you see. He said, all these people, very quietly, very devoutly, passing by, reverencing the spot. And he wrote, this mystery above all mysteries. The great God of heaven has come down to earth. Obviously, there are very serious times that we are living through. There is much gloom and doom around about much of life. I think we're all rightly very concerned about how what's happening in the Holy Land could spread all over. And we've often got to think, I'm always in my mind thinking, what does it mean to speak of peace in Gaza today when war is there? Or in Ukraine? Or other places where these things go on, affecting so many across the world? And the sheer number of refugees, lives devastated by these wars, a world ever in chaos. So in a way, how do we celebrate the birth of a Redeemer in a world which looks so shockingly unredeemed and with hearts that mostly feel heavy and unredeemed? That's why, in the sense, the Christmas story is not easily made credible. Who can still believe that God came down from heaven, took human flesh, ultimately conquered all suffering, altered the course of human history? Who can? We can, because that is our Catholic faith. And that's why in a few moments, when we profess our faith, it's on this night that we do kneel at the Incarnatus, the fact that he came down from heaven. But that redemptive power isn't of Christmas, isn't a magical event. Its centre speaks of humiliation, of pain, of forced fleeing. Not like that being experienced by so many people in so many parts of the world. As Mary and Joseph had to flee from Herod into Egypt, so where are people going now? Often into Egypt. You see, it's repeating itself. And some of all that is in our wounded hearts too. That flesh of Jesus, as in us, human flesh, vulnerable, weak, incomplete, needed, painfully full of limit, suffering. Christmas celebrates that great mystery, all that happening in the child in the manger. But that child in the manger redeems limit, redeems evil, redeems sin, redeems the pain. They're not abolished, but for this very reason, we can celebrate Christ's birth without any way denying or trivializing the real evil in our world. Because Christmas is always that challenge to celebrate while in pain, O great mystery. That's the incredible thing. And in the midst of it all, tomorrow, maybe even when you get home tonight, I've got two more masses yet tomorrow, which must be celebrated with lights and food and drinks and songs of joy. And our Bishop-elect Christopher, not a bishop yet, but he will be, invites us all to gather round the crib, not just today. The cribs in all our churches are going to be here till Candlemas. We've got 40 days to celebrate. but invites us to gather round the crib and gaze upon that child who reveals to us God's tremendous love, God's yes to humanity. I'm praying all the time, Bishop-elect says, for him, but indeed for each other and our world. When you go to our crib, you will see there's a difference to other years. Well, it is quite different to other years anyway, but even more so, because the child, just on a little bit of straw, but all builder's rubble round him. But that takes us to Gaza, where I saw there was some rubble and people were putting the figures in, because that's where the Lord is. I always remember, I must not go on forever, but an important thing. There was a very big earthquake in Mexico many years ago, and I was on the tube in London, looking always like I am, so they knew exactly who I was, Catholic priest. And they said, "Where's your God?" A man, as the doors opened, he shouted to me, "Where's your God now then?" And I said, "He's right there in Mexico with the people. He's right there. He's with us. That's our God. Praise be to him."